Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Lord, thank you for loving us, forgiving us, saving us, and restoring us to the loving relationship that we have in you. Lord, help us today to reach beyond our borders and teach us how to impact lives for Christ. Today, Lord, I choose to emulate your love, both local and global. Would you show us how, Father? We pray this in Jesus' name. Folks, this is Don Crisp of the Good News Christian Ministries, and let me wish you and yours a happy Valentine's Day. You are listening to the Good News Christian Ministries radio program. You can reach us at Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. That's KOG1WO. My message today is entitled Love in Action. And even as we consider God's love, we need to understand that His love always was demonstrated to us. And indeed, we can learn from that. I'm going to begin the program by reading from 1 John chapter 3. And as we listen to the scriptures, may our hearts be open to what God has to say. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. I'm reading from the translation called The Message. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. That is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers, not just for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know that we're truly living in God's reality. Amen. Yes, indeed. Love in action. You know, in 2 days from now, we will be celebrating officially Valentine's Day, and this is truly, I believe, an issue of life. Trust me, gentlemen, I hope you're paying attention. If you forget, it's going to be an issue of life for you. So you might want to think about that. You know, February has become such a special time of the year for Trisha and myself. Our first date was Valentine's Day, 1967. Our first date. Wow, hard to believe. We both became Christians in February 1967. February is so meaningful to us. We accepted our call to ministry, to full-time ministry in February 1978. Began pastoring in 1980. We started ministry at First Baptist Church, Smiths Falls, in February 1995, where we are still there, entering into our 18th year, even as I speak. Now, having been married for 42 years and having been a Christian for 39 years, I've come to learn a lot about love over these years. And I just want to share with you today what my learning curve has been, the lessons I've learned in the journey of love. And, you know, as we think of love in action, I trust that you'll make your own list of the things that you've learned about love. Are you ready? Let's go. The first thing is this. I've learned that God's love for me, notice I'm starting with God, I've learned that God's love for me is everlasting. It's complete. It's cleansing. It's refreshing. It's strengthening. And it also produces peace and joy in my life. What do I mean by everlasting? Well, that word everlasting, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, means unfailing. It means never ending. It means without any break. His love is everlasting. Therefore, it's complete. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more completely than he already does. Isn't that wonderful to know? I've learned that. Also, I've learned that his love is cleansing. As his love undergirds me, as his love surrounds me, as his love inundates me, as I bathe myself in his love, I know I'm being cleansed by the power of his love. His love, therefore, is refreshing. It's refreshing. It's strengthening. And as I said, it produces peace and joy. The second thing I've learned, and it's really about me, I must learn to love me. Now, folks, just hang on a second. Not so that I become egotistic or self-centered or self-obsessed. The reality is the Bible teaches that we need to be Christo-centered, not self-centered. But if we're Christ-focused, Christo-centered, then it means that we understand that God doesn't make junk. And he made me as he made you. And we need to come to terms of loving ourselves in a healthy way so that we can love others in the way in which they need to be loved. The third thing I've learned in my journey about love is I'm privileged to be loved, to love Tricia. And, you know, Tricia and I have been married 42 years now. And you know what? I've come to learn day by day, month by month, year by year. I am so privileged to have her in my life. But to love her, it means this. It means to honor her. It means putting her needs ahead of my needs. It means respecting her. It means making emotional, daily emotional deposits in her life. Deposits of adoration, affirmation, acceptance, and approval. Don't we all need that? We need to be adored, affirmed, accepted, and approved of. We need those emotional deposits. That love does that. Love intentionally makes emotional love deposits. And I'm privileged to have Tricia love me in kind, exactly the same way. The fourth thing I've learned is about the love languages. Of course, Gary Chapman has written that book, The Five Love Languages. I've learned to identify my two primary love languages. I've learned to identify Trisha's two primary love languages. And we need to learn how to love each other the way we need to be loved. What are the five love languages? Words of affirmation, time, acts of service, touch, gifts. Now, my love languages, my two primary love languages, are words of affirmation and touch. I'm a hugger. I like to hold hands. I just like the cuddle. I like that. But words of affirmation are big for me. Well, maybe I am egocentric. Well, anyway, with Tricia, her love languages are acts of service and time. And how, I mean, we all love words of affirmation, but it's so important. Have you decided and identified your love language? You see, we often love others the way we want to be loved as opposed to how they need to be loved and should be loved. You need to think about that. Are you loving them in their love language or are you loving them in the way you want to be loved? I've also learned in the journey about the languages of apology. Again, Gary Chapman wrote the book, Five Languages of Apology. I've kind of baptized that and grown it into seven languages of apology. Because, the reality is, here's this. Words are not enough. Often when we mess up, we know we need to fess up and we catch ourselves saying, I'm sorry. Or, I love you. You know, gentlemen, if you're listening, after all, this is Valentine's Day, simply when you mess up by saying, I love you, that's not going to do it. Words are not enough. Languages of apology, here they are, and I believe there are seven of them. We need to, first of all, show remorse as we say, I'm sorry. And we say that verbally, but we should also be saying it in our body language as well. I'm so sorry. Secondly, we need to take responsibility for what we've done wrong, and we need to verbally say, I'm wrong. Thirdly, we need to make restitution. That's the language of how to truly apologize. Show remorse. I'm sorry. Take responsibility. Say, I'm wrong. Make restitution. I need to correct the wrong. Wow. That's one thing that's missing from today, isn't it? Correcting the wrong. We often just say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, and we move on. Fourthly, we need to renounce. Renounce means to forsake whatever we've done so that it doesn't become a habit. The word renounce actually in the original language means to burn the bridge that got you into messing up. You need to burn that bridge so you can't go back to it, so you can't return to that area of messing up. And that's we do that by forsaking. Yes. And so we say to our partner, I want to apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm wrong. I need to correct that wrong. I need to forsake that wrong and renounce it. Will you help me burn that bridge? And that way it's the team being yoked together as we move forward in destroying that bridge. Also, we need to repent. I need to make sure I never return to that area of mess up. We often realize that we repeat our sins over and over again. We keep coming back to that area. We say we repent, but we come back to it. Look, true repentance means a changed heart, a changed attitude, a changed mind, and therefore a changed behavior. And then, number six, reconcile. It means change has taken place. You are a changed person. That's what the word actually reconciliation means. It means change. It means something miraculous has happened. That's the God factor. God will work that in you if you follow this process. This is the languages of love. This is the languages of apology. Number seven is, whenever you mess up, fess up. Repeat it. Repeat it daily if you have to, but repeat it. Don't let pride get in the way. I've learned that pride can just be such a stumbling block where we end up not apologizing and loving the person the way we need to. Number six, I've learned that love is a verb. It's a verb. It's a muscle that needs to be exercised. The Bible describes love in four Greek words: storge, epithemia, phileo, and agapeo. Okay, who cares what those words are? Let me tell you what the definition is. First of all, this is how God loves us. He loves us with storge, meaning it's a love that makes us and allows us to feel safe and secure. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? You can feel his strong arms holding you. Epithemia means non-sexual intimacy. It means being intimate with God, being able to touch his heart as he touches yours. Phileo is friendship. Agape is unconditional love. By the way, unconditional love is meaningless unless it includes and embraces unconditional forgiveness. Always keep those two together. So I've learned that love is a verb, and indeed, for me to love Tricia, my family and people, the way they need to be loved, I need to make sure that Tricia feels safe, that we have intimacy. I'm talking about non-sexual intimacy, that we're best friends, and that we have unconditional love which practices unconditional forgiveness. That's a big one. We see so many couples fall when it comes to that. Number seven, I've learned that love must be modeled. It must be modeled. You know, if I'm going to say that I'm going to emulate the love of Christ, then that means I need to model the love of Christ. That's a hard one. I mean, I'm finite. He's infinite. He's God. I'm not. But I need to be intentional about modeling it. First before my wife, then before my children, then before my family and my friends, my church family, and before the world. Because the world is watching. Indeed, love must be modeled. Our kids, our grandkids learn what they see modeled before them. Number eight, I've learned that love must be demonstrated. Scripture is very clear about this. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When it comes to love, words are not enough. The Bible says in James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now that's love in action. Loving, demonstrating your love, first to your partner, to your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your church family. But it also means for widows and orphans. It means looking beyond the borders, as I prayed to begin this message. And indeed, as we do that, we realize that God is with us for that journey. Amen. Folks, I want to take a moment and introduce to you again, or welcome, my wife Tricia, who's in the studio with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here. And hello to everyone. And with us, we also have a young sister in the Lord, Brianna Bedore. And Brianna Bedore is going to share with us a heart-stirring love story. So, Brianna, first tell us something about yourself, and then tell us your story.
Well, hi. I'll start by saying hi, everyone. My name is Brianna, as Dawn and Trish already mentioned. I have two beautiful kids that I'm very blessed with. I have a wonderful, supportive husband, and I have a job that I'm very passionate about. I'm actually a high school teacher, so I love what I do, and that makes it all worthwhile.
Amen.
Amen. And you are a person of faith as well.
I am.
Wonderful. Yeah. Could you tell us a little story about this love story that Trish is referring to, this love in action? It's a fascinating story.
Absolutely. When the earthquake hit Haiti in January 2010, the school that I was working at the time decided to do something to help. They, in conjunction with a local organization called Focus on Development, planned a huge benefit concert in Elmont, Ontario. At the benefit concert, there were students from the high school that would contribute their talents. Lots of community members were involved, and the concert was in the evening. I decided to go to show my support for my students and for the cause. To be honest, I didn't know much about Haiti. I knew it was the poorest country in the world, but other than that, I didn't know much. So that was a learning experience for me. I decided to take my then three, almost four-year-old son, Landon, to the concert, and he went with me. He was my date. He loves music, and he had a good time, but his eyes were very opened. After the concert, on the way home in the car, he asked me a plethora of questions. Questions like, Mommy, what is an earthquake? Mommy, why were those pictures on the screen of those kids that were crying? What happened to their mommies and daddies? There were so many questions that I answered. After answering all of the questions, we sort of closed the conversation and, you know, we're praying for those children and for all of the people in the country. About 3 weeks after the benefit concert, I was in the washroom brushing my teeth, getting ready to go to Ottawa to visit my sister, who is working at a restaurant. And Landon came into the washroom, and he had a box of cupcake mix in his hands. And he, out of the blue, said, Mommy, I'd like to bake these cupcakes. And I said, well, honey, not right now. I'm kind of in the middle of something. I'm brushing my teeth, and we'll do it later. And he said, oh, no, Mommy, we need to do it now, because I need to bring the cupcakes with us to visit Aunt Caitlin. And I said, oh, all right, well, we'll do it right now. Why, though? And he said, well, I want to sell these cupcakes and I want to make some money. And I had no idea what he was talking about, and he was starting to get a little frustrated with me. And I said, what would you like to bake them for, Landon? He said, well, the kids from those pictures. And so it was then that I realized that the images that he saw that night 3 weeks ago had really stuck with him in his mind and really affected him. So that started Landon's bakery. Every day after daycare, he would open his little bakery cupboard and we would bake. He would do all of the mixing and gathering, and I would work the oven. Over the course of a year, he actually raised $3,000 for this orphanage in Haiti, the orphanage that the benefit concert in Elmont was trying to raise money for. At the benefit concert, a woman by the name of Doudan Batraville was mentioned quite a bit. This was the person that the benefit concert money would go to. Doudan is an Elmont resident. She's a Canadian citizen, but she was born in Haiti. When she comes home to Elmont, that is her resting place. She recharges there. She is the field director of St. Mark Haiti, and she is the founder of this orphanage, Centre Vie. And so this is where Landon's money was directed to. And over the course of that, you know, six months to 1 year period, I started to develop sort of an email pen pal type relationship with Doudan.
You know, just let me interrupt for a second. What a fascinating story. You know, the Bible's very clear that we shall be led by the children, and the children will lead us into the land of vision, and we are talking here about love and action, and we can see how this is developing as far as that goes.
Yes. It's so true. It really is love in action, because if my son hadn't sort of opened my eyes to the needs that were going on, with these other children his age halfway around the world, I'm ashamed to say that I don't know that I would have had those spiritual eyes opened in quite the same way. So, I mean, amen to him, and amen to thank you, God, for helping me through my own child.
Yeah, even as we just read in the scripture earlier, it says, my dear children, let's not just talk about love, but let's practice real love. And I find it so interesting that we can be available and we can be faithful, but God always brings someone into our lives. In this instance, it's a little child, and God says, follow him. Wonderful. What else can you share with us?
After kind of connecting with Doudan and really getting firsthand information about the hardships of these children, and at the time there were about 29 of them. Actually, I think it started out with 24 and then it grew to 29. Now it's 31 children that are taken care of at the orphanage. But she gave personal stories. She would send me pictures. She's one of the few people in the community that does have internet access. She has, you know, a position that requires her to be communicating with many different people. So through email, I got these wonderful pictures, but they were, you know, it was disheartening to see that these children who, you know, had faith. These children had faith, and they loved life, but they were not in a good situation before the earthquake hit. A lot of them were struck, obviously, by poverty.
Right.
They had not great life circumstances, and so for some of them, being with Dudan and with the people at the orphanage was actually a blessing. They were in a better state than they were before the earthquake hit. And for, you know, it's just incredible. So with Landon's, you know, sort of starting this whole idea to help them, me as his mother, seeing his passion for this cause, I asked Dudan, I said, what's going to happen to these kids in the long term? And she just said, Brianna, I'm taking it day by day, and I'm trusting God to lead the way. She's a person of major faith as well. And, I do believe that is what is getting her through, and many of the people through this time.
You know, as you share that, again, coming back to the scripture I shared in 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, as we look at this story develop and we look at the children that are going to be impacted and are being impacted, listen to what the scripture says. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. And you know, those children now are experiencing love in action. They're experiencing love from afar across the ocean. But the reality is that that's God's love being experienced. Fascinating how God's putting different people in different positions to make this happen.
I remember saying a prayer after the bakery was underway, and I remember praying, God, whatever you have in store for this bakery or whatever is going on here, please, just kind of guide and direct me. What do you want me to do? How can I use my gifts and talents to help? And once you pray that kind of prayer, I guess you better hold on tight, because I was in for a wild ride after that.
Yes, yeah. Lots of challenges in that ride too, I presume.
Absolutely. A lot of challenges, but a lot of rewards, and I wouldn't change anything. So what happened next was Dudan and I sort of planned together to start a sponsorship program to help these kids in the long term. She sent me all of their pictures. She sent me all of their personal stories. She tried to interview them in a way that wouldn't be invasive. They were, they had gone through so much. So she just asked them for whatever information they would be willing to give, and she compiled some stories. So from there, I created a website. You can visit the website. It's called lifecenter.weebly.com, lifecenter.weebly.com. Lifecenter.weebly.com has all of the information that you would need if you choose to help, if you're stirred by this story and God leads you to want to help this very worthy cause. The orphanage is all of the kids are sponsored. Amen to that. It's wonderful, and God has opened so many doors for us, but the orphanage does need more money to sustain itself, so we're always looking and hoping and praying for donations to come in and for people to jump on board to help us out. So people can contact me as the coordinator of the sponsorship program via the website, and they can get all kinds of information about everything that I've been talking about, from the sponsorship program to Landon's Bakery and so on.
Wonderful. Would you give the website information again, just slower? So I'm hoping people will be marking it down. And
sure. It's lifecenter.weebly.com. lifecenter.weebly.com.
Wonderful. And people can just contact you, and if they're looking for more information or how to support or how to come alongside.
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful. My email address is on the website, so that the website does give such great information, and I would love for people to check that out and contact me that way after they've read everything. And, they can make their own decision from, reading the material, whether or not they would like to support.
Well, Brianna, I want to thank you for being with us today, and we're looking forward to having you back for the next program as well. But we want to just take a moment and have a word of prayer concerning this work. And again, I want to emphasize that we want these children to experience the love of Christ. We want these children to experience the love of God. As Romans says, He demonstrated His very own love for us, and that's what we want them to experience, Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do give you thanks for this love story. This love story in action, we are just, we stand in awe of who you are, and we stand in awe of what you're doing. We do pray for those children. We thank you for each one of them. You know them by name. We pray that the day comes that they know you by name as well. But we thank you, Father, that we can, through this ministry, reach out and to touch lives and hearts for Christ. Bless Dee Dunn. Bless Brianna, Lord, and all those who are involved, the sponsors. Lord, this is a team effort, and we are so very, very thankful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, folks, I want to thank you for your prayerful and financial support of this radio ministry. And indeed, as we go into this month, we are so cognitive of the fact that we need you to be part of the team. If you believe that the messages that you hear are good for believers as well as for those who are yet to believe, then I need you to add your financial support to your prayer support. Again, make sure you honor your commitment to your home church first. Then after that, stop, think, and pray, and see if God is leading you to support the Good News Christian Ministries. And if so, just send a check to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. You know, you can access this these messages in so many different ways. Rogers Cable 927, right on CFRA, 580 AM on the radio, or online, CFRA.com, or you can go to our website, The Good News Christian Ministries, and just click on broadcast. Now, my friends, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross. A church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. A church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles and precepts and promises that are found within it. Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you and bringing honor and glory to your name at all times. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope and love and truth. And indeed, as we ponder, when I think I'm going under, may we begin to understand that those children in Haiti just need someone to touch out, to reach out to them and see love in action. Let's listen to Kenny Rogers singing, He Showed Me Love. May God bless you. Amen. Let's take a break.
He showed me love when all the hope I had was gone. He showed me love and gave me strength to carry on. I just put my faith in Jesus and let him take my hand. I know he's gonna lead me to the promised land. He showed me love and he'll do the same for you. He showed me love here in my heart I never felt before. He showed me love enough to give and never hunger for. I was always lost and searching, running anywhere I could, chasing every rainbow till I understood. He showed me love, and he'll do the same for you. Jesus said he would. He showed me love, and he'll do the same for you. If you ask him to, he showed me love, and He'll do the same for you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.